This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Denton, before you get to your news, Dan Dockich, I don't even know what he does anymore. He doesn't call games anymore, does he?
He does not call games. You're going to be stunned by this, so I hope you're sitting down. He works with OutKick.
Oh, he works with OutKick?
He does.
Does he host a radio show, too?
He does. He does a local show in Indiana, I believe.
In Indiana. In Indianapolis, probably.
Yeah, in Indiana.
You know, people and all of us could have this done to us pretty easily, I'm sure. When people expose old, you know, frozen takes on social media. A year ago, February 21st, 2024, when Derek Queen committed to Maryland over Indiana, Dan Dockich tweeted out, "Indiana basketball caught a," and writes in capital letters, all caps, "huge break with that Queen kid going to Maryland. How stupid are Indiana fans moaning over an entitled, overrated prep school player not coming? WTF have these clowns ever won at Indiana?" That was all over the place. I think I'd seen it at some point during the season. It's a site called Freezing Cold Takes. It's a pretty good idea. I know these have popped up various times. I'm sure you could find several of them that I've got.
It's a rite of passage to be mentioned on Freezing Cold Takes, I feel like.
Exactly. All right. What do you got?
All right. So Sweet 16 is set. Seven SEC teams got into the Sweet 16. I bring that up because I'm eating a little bit of crow on this one, Kevin. I thought when they got, 14 teams into the NCAA tournament that they'd walk into the Sweet 16 with like four or five. I thought it was going to be a complete blow up, that all these teams weren't that good. Consider being proven wrong. They have nearly half of the Sweet 16 field.
So a couple teams have been very impressive from the SEC that I don't think there were expectations for. Chris Beard just wins wherever he goes. He can just flat out coach, and Ole Miss is good. I had them for size against Carolina on Friday. That may have been, I think that was the largest wager I've made in the tournament. The whole world was on Carolina. That was probably the biggest public play of the first round. And they blew out Iowa State. I know that Iowa State's injured and missing a piece or two, but that's impressive. And, you know, that line against Michigan State is short. It's like two. Michigan State's like a 2.5-point favorite. Would not surprise me if Chris Beard advances and you get, I mean, an SEC, you know, Elite Eight matchup between Auburn. That's an interesting Sweet 16 matchup in the South. You have Auburn, SEC against the Big Ten, Auburn against Michigan. Michigan's comeback and win against A&M was impressive. And then you've got Ole Miss, Michigan State. So you could end up with an SEC Elite Eight final or an All-Big Ten final. I think Arkansas, obviously impressive. They're so athletic, Denton, now that they're healthy. That's what really struck me watching them against Kansas, which was a terrible game. We talked about that on Friday, but in their win over St. John's. And then the team, I'm not blown away by Auburn, and I'm not blown away by Tennessee. Tennessee, there's a reason I'm not blown away with them, because they really are not great offensively. Now, Rick Barnes is as good as anybody, so I wouldn't put it past him to advance. Tennessee, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, they've never been to a Final Four. I don't think they have.
No, and Rick Barnes has been a guy that struggled going deep in the tournament. Remember, he coached Kevin Durant at Texas, and they could not.
Yeah,
Durant and DJ
one and
Augustine,
done.
And they couldn't get done.
Well, the Durant thing, that was not a great team, and they lost in the first round, if my memory serves me correctly. But they got to a Final Four at Texas with Rick Barnes. They were in that Final Four that Syracuse won, when Syracuse won in 03. It was Syracuse, Marquette, Texas, and Kansas, right? Because Syracuse beat Kansas in the final. That was Dwayne Wade with Marquette, Texas. Was TJ Ford, who was the point guard on that team?
It might have been TJ Ford. That would make sense. He got to the Elite Eight last year with Tennessee, but he has definitely not gotten to a Final Four with Tennessee.
You know, he coached for Gary many, many, many years ago. He was an assistant for Gary at Ohio State when Gary was at Ohio State, and Gary, you know, recruited the number two recruiting class in the country other than the Fab Five. And then Gary left to come to Maryland, and Ohio State got to the Elite Eight with Gary's players. But he was on the Mason staff. In fact, one of Feinstein's books that I talked about, A March to Madness, the book about ACC basketball, had a bunch of Rick Barnes when he was the head coach at Clemson. He's one of those guys that dummies would say, well, he's never won a national championship. He's never been, you know, hasn't been to the Final Four, or only one Final Four. Everywhere he goes, that team wins a lot of games and is in the big dance. But his teams have never been, they're always great defensive teams. But, you know, you got to be able to score eventually to win six. So they play Kentucky. But I think Ole Miss is the team that's been the reveal for me of the SEC teams. They're well coached, they're long, they're deep, and they blasted Carolina. And who did they beat in the first round that was impressive?
Ole Miss?
Yeah, why am I blanking?
Ole Miss blasted Carolina.
Right.
In the first round.
Oh, that's right. Carolina had the game before. They blasted San Diego State. Right.
Yeah.
By the way, the smell test, 9-7-1 through the first two rounds. Yesterday was the first losing day. I was 1-3. I got Maryland at 143.5. So Derek Queen's shot made it 143. When I gave it out early, it was 144. A lot of you were tweeting saying, went 0-for-4 on your picks. Well, the day before was 1-1-1, and most of you had Gonzaga as a winner plus 5.5. I gave him out at plus 5, so it pushed. That's what happens. I mean, it's when I give it out, sorry. But Maryland did come under for me. I actually played it at 143.5. So 9-7-1. All right, what else you got?
How about a little bit of coaching news? There's been a lot of new hires in college basketball, including a guy that we talked about last week. This one hasn't been official, but it looks like that Sean Miller is the top candidate for the Texas head coaching job. Ryan Odom of ECU is going to UVA and announced today Ben McCollum, who is the head coach of Drake, is going to take Fran McCaffrey's job at Iowa.
Yeah, the Sean Miller piece is we knew about McCollum, we knew about Odom. I mean, Sean Miller, man, he's going to make another run at a big-time place. I mean, you can win at Xavier, obviously. I mean, didn't he take all three of his Xavier teams to the tournament?
Well, he can do it. He can pay players legally now. That was his Achilles heel. Him and Will Wade, they can now. They don't now have to get wiretapped anymore.
We talked about Sean Miller last week. So he was going to be the coach. Maryland had a deal lined up with Sean Miller in 2010 when Gary retired. You know, the story goes Kevin Anderson and Sean Miller, you know, they got together in Vegas. There was a get-together, and Sean Miller wanted multiple academic exceptions. And Maryland was one of those schools that only did one academic exception. And he said, well, I need more than one. And they wouldn't give it to him. And he leveraged it into a big raise at Arizona, and Maryland ended up hiring Mark Turgeon. But it really looked like Sean Miller was going to be the coach, and he had been at Arizona for a year, maybe 2 years at that point, but he wanted to get back to the East Coast, and he knew the Maryland opportunity in the ACC. I mean, they had not yet committed to the Big Ten. But Sean Miller is another guy. Rick Barnes got to a Final Four at Texas. Sean Miller's never been to a Final Four. He's been to four Elite Eights, never been to the Final Four. And I would bet you, didn't we talk about this last week, and I forget if we went back and looked at it, that they were probably favored at Arizona in at least two or three of the Elite Eight losses that he had.
Yes, there were multiple times where he was a one or a two seed. That's what we went back and looked
to
see how many times.
Where he was a one seed back-to-back years, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he got to the NCAA tournament twice in the 3 years in the second stint at Xavier. Once was an NIT. And then his first stint at Xavier in the early 2000s, he made it to the NCAA tournament four out of the five seasons.
How many years did Rodney Terry get at Texas?
I think he was there for like two. Because he was like one and a half, because he was Chris Beard's replacement after the Beard stuff went down.
Yeah, so the Beard stuff went down. He, in 23, got them to the Elite Eight. I forget who they lost to in the Elite Eight in 23. They lost in the second round last year, and they lost in the first four this year. They blew that lead against Xavier. So Sean Miller ended up beating the team in the first four that he's going to end up coaching. Who did Rodney Terry lose to in the Elite Eight a few years ago?
Let's see. In the Elite Eight, I forget who it was, because I didn't think Texas was all that spectacular that year.
Look, running Chris Beard, especially given, you know, I don't know, that dude can coach. All right, what else?
All right, how about your boy Aaron Rodgers visiting with the Pittsburgh Steelers? Apparently he was there earlier last week. It was either Thursday or Friday, because I saw
Texas lost to Miami. Larrinaga's Miami team that went to the Final Four.
Well, Aaron Rodgers visited with Pittsburgh for a reported 6 hours, and I saw a meme, which is why this is fresh in my mind, because you have to be a devilish human being to meet with someone for 6 hours on the first day of the NCAA tournament, but apparently he did. Still no sign of a deal for Aaron Rodgers.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Scott McLuhan, I'll never forget, when the news broke that they had hired Scott McLuhan to be the general manager. I got him on the phone before any of the stuff was announced, and Scott honestly still is. He's a super nice person. By the way, you know who's a nice person? Vinny Serrato is a really nice person. person, nice guy. They just worked for the worst human being on the planet. But I said to Scott McLuhan, so how did it come about? And he said, well, you know, Dan had me at his house. You know, over the weekend, I was there for like 12 hours on both days. I may be getting the hours mixed up, but whatever. It was like an obscene amount of time. And I'm just thinking, what in God's name? I mean, you know, unless you're doing stuff like, hey, we're going to go for a hike, or we're going to go play pickleball. That wasn't
around.
Could
you imagine?
We're going to play golf, whatever it is. I don't think Snyder had any hobbies. But anyway, so I reported that McLuhan had had multiple days of like 8 to 12, whatever the hours were. It was an obscene amount. And, I mean, Tony Wiley, the PR guy, they went nuts. Larry called me. Tony called me. That's BS. You're making Snyder sound like I'm like, well, is it true? Because Scott, where did you get that? And I said, I got it from Scott McLuhan. He didn't meet for that long. And then the press conference the next day to introduce Scott McLuhan, Dan Snyder steps to the podium and he's answering a question. He said, you know, we spent back-to-back days, like, you know, 10 hours, 11 hours with each other. I really got to know Scott and really, I just remember thinking, these guys are just insufferable. And they didn't even know. But Scott would tell you, if you got him on the phone, even now, we've had him on the show, podcast. He's such a good guy, and will just tell, he's just, you know, unfiltered most of the time. There's probably something else you could add to that that I'm not going to, because he's a nice person who's had some issues, clearly. And hopefully he's doing well. I reached out to him last year. Did we have him on last year before the draft or after the draft?
I think we had him after. We usually have him on after the draft.
Yeah, because he still does a lot of work as a consultant for teams, or at least he was last year. So we'll try to shoot for getting him on again this year. All right, what else you got?
Jameis Winston to the Giants.
Oh, back to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's
so right. He's going to go to Pittsburgh, right?
Well, he's running out of options because Minnesota has moved on. New York just signed Jameis Winston, so
not an option. As much as I love Jameis, I guarantee you that they signed him to a 2-year, $8 million deal that's barely a backup quarterback deal. So if Rodgers skipped on Pittsburgh and was interested in the Giants, they could still sign Aaron Rodgers.
It's a question if they want him.
Right.
Because they're going to draft a quarterback.
I'm saying is they didn't draft Jameis Winston to be a – I don't even think they signed Jameis Winston to be a bridge. I think they signed him to be a backup quarterback for another veteran, or if they draft somebody, I guess it technically could be the bridge.
I think it would be the bridge.
But I don't think it prevents the Giants from going after another veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
I don't think so, but I would have went harder. Like, you know, especially with Russ, like, he's just there. You could, like, Aaron Rodgers is doing his Rodgers bit where he's waiting and he's going to take his time and, you know, make it about him and do the Aaron Rodgers stuff. But you can sign Russell Wilson. Like, you could have signed him before Jameis Winston if you really wanted him, and they didn't.
I don't think anybody wants Russell Wilson.
I don't even know why Russell Wilson still wants to play. You're married to Sierra. Just go be a trophy husband. She's making money. You got a lot of money. You got your brand. Your clothing line and logo is ugly. But you got your brand going on. Like, just go be a trophy husband. Lord almighty.
Nah, he's a competitor, man. He wants to play. But I think that there's still this thing with Russ where it's like, only if we have to. Teams are like, if we have to, okay. But we really don't want to business.
They don't want to put up with Russell Wilson.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's been a tough business. I mean, remember Sean Payton? He despised Russell. We learned about how in Seattle he was despised. Now, the thought in Pittsburgh was that he got it together a little bit and he didn't have his own bathroom and his own office and his entourage and all the things that he had in the other places, because Tomlin wasn't going to put up with that. But he didn't play well enough, too.
Do you think anyone on the Pittsburgh Steelers got his personal phone number, or do you still think they have to go through his people?
I don't know. I mean, that was, I mean, how crazy is that? That your own teammates weren't given your cell phone number. I mean, how self-inflated do you have to be that, you know, you're that's incredibly pretentious. What else?
How about your boy Tiger Woods, both Twitter and Instagram official with Vanessa Trump?
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show.
I mean, so she has a type.
She was married to Don Jr.
She was.
Yeah.
She likes him rich.
How old is she?
Probably a
Tiger's. Tiger's coming up on 50 now, right?
Yeah, she is younger than 50. Actually, she's not. She's 47.
Well, she is younger than 50 then.
Yeah, she's younger, but not
much younger as you thought.
Yeah, I thought she was way younger.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know much about her until you told me, and I had not seen any of the Tiger Woods, Vanessa Trump stuff.
I don't know anything about her other than that Tiger Woods posted a picture asking for privacy, and like, there's nothing that asks for privacy more than posting from an account with millions of followers.
Yeah, why even do that? I don't know anything about this relationship. I don't know anything about her other than when you told me. I read she is, you know, a New York elite, you know, Manhattan elite, grew up with lots of money, dated a Saudi prince. At some point, she was, like, rumored to be in a relationship with DiCaprio. And then she married Don Jr. They were married for, like, 15 years or something like that.
So. 15 years? She got a $100,000 engagement ring. I can tell you what. It's a lot more expensive than the one I got my fiance.
Oh, come on. I don't believe that. I think you went full out. I don't know anything about her.
Yeah, this company.
I hope it works out for Tiger. I mean, I wish Tiger were playing. But all right, what else?
Conan O'Brien, final thing here. Conan O'Brien's going to receive the Mark Twain Prize at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I know you
watched. My wife's like, can we get tickets and go?
Right?
What'd you say?
You were at the Kevin Hart.
I was last year.
Award show, yeah. So Conan O'Brien's going to get it this year.
Yeah.
I think he's the best late night talk show guy, by the
so
way.
Good.
I mean, he's so much better than the other ones that are just like,
I don't even watch anybody anymore.
I don't watch the Jimmys.
I don't watch the Colberts. I don't watch any of them. It's just way too. It's too far in. I don't like extreme either direction. But that's way too far much of the time for me. But and by the way, not even honestly, Conan's legit funny. Do you think Fallon or Kimmel are really funny?
Oh my God, Jimmy Fallon, he used to make me so angry on Saturday Night Live. He was always breaking, and it was like it became a bit. I was like, it's like some of the stuff is not that funny. He just wants to be the cute kid that breaks. The way that he laughs at some of the not funny jokes. Like, if you were telling me a story and you're like, yeah, it was on a Tuesday and Kimmel's dying. Oh, my God, a Tuesday. Oh, my God.
You know, you see that a lot in sketch comedy. Like, there are occasionally you get people who actually want to break so that people laugh at the breaking.
Like, I look at him breaking.
And it's like, no, it wasn't funny enough to break. The all-time show for those things, and you're way too young. The Carol Burnett show and the sketches that she did with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. If you want to laugh out loud at sketch comedy from, you know, one of those variety shows from the 70s that I grew up with, those two dudes were funny and they made each other laugh and it was always funny when they broke. But yeah. All right. We're talking about things that are a matter of, you know, they're subjective. Art is. Anything else?
That's all I got for you.
Ben, next, or are we going to come back and do something short?
Something really quick, because there is something that I think you'll think is funny from the post-game presser after
we'll
Maryland's
do that next.
Win.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.